Let's read the verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's just ask a quick word of blessing on this time. Lord and Heavenly Father, we just ask you, please, as we go through this verse again tonight, that you'll just help us to understand the many truths in it, the practical applications in it for us. Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to listen carefully to what your word has to say. And Lord, let's follow in obedience as we follow these verses and make our lives better for it. So Lord, bless this time to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've spent 2 evenings looking at this wonderful passage so far, and I hope that you've been encouraged by it, through it. It's very comforting and practical advice in here. And these last 2 evenings we spent on verse 6, but tonight we're going to look at verse 7, and then we've finished with the passage. But before we do look at verse 7, let's just have a quick recap on verse 6, just a quick reminder of what we've learnt in that verse. We are reminded, first of all, that the word anxious has at its foundation, at its core, the thought of caring. And we know that caring is a good thing. It's something we ought to do. But this kind of caring goes beyond what we should be doing to a point where it becomes a problem, where it becomes that our caring for this becomes worry and anxiety. As what we're caring for becomes a greater thing than the God we serve. It becomes a distraction and a sin because we stop trusting God. That's where anxiety comes from. Caring so much that we stop trusting in God, it gets us worked up and worried and anxious. We make God to be weak in this process as we neglect His ability to do things, His strength. Now, the series of messages remind us that the major ingredient in the cure for anxiety is prayer. But not just any prayer, right prayer or correct prayer. And the Apostle Paul goes on to give us 4 words to help us remember what correct prayer is. And these words were prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and requests. And if you remember, the word prayer is from a Greek word which speaks of prayer addressed to God as an act of worship and devotion. Right prayer starts with approaching God in the right way, reverently, with great respect, acknowledging God for who He is. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-just, all-good, all-wise, all-holy, sovereign one. When we find ourselves worrying, the best thing for us to do is to spend time worshiping God. And as we worship God, and as we bring to mind His characteristics, His attributes, His strengths, we start remembering that our God is bigger than our troubles. And even without even asking anything of Him, just by simply worshiping Him in a correct way, we should already be gaining comfort. Without even giving Him our requests, we should already be feeling more calm and peace. Just in worshiping Him in our prayers. The second word is supplication. And this word speaks of more of a personal request. Later on, the fourth word is request, where it's really talking about the objects that we're asking for, the things we're asking for. But the supplication is more of a personal thing, more of our personal desires. It's more of a personal time with God, talking, confessing our sins, speaking to Him about things. It's more of a personal thing that's needed in our time of prayer. It also brings to mind the intensity of our prayer, that word supplication. How badly do we really want what we're asking God for? Because if we really want it, we're going to pray more than once. We're going to continue earnestly in prayer with our God. And this also brings to mind that instead of putting so much energy into worrying And being anxious, we should rather put more time and energy in prayer with our God. The third word is thanksgiving, which reminds us that our prayer should be full of thanksgiving. Not just remember, oh, I better thank him for something. The whole prayer should have a tone of thanksgiving as we remember who he is and how worthy or unworthy we are in having our prayers answered. So the our entire prayer time should be permeated with thanksgiving. It sets the tone. It sets the right mood for our prayers. And then the last thing that Paul says we ought to do is then list what we want. Instead of starting our prayers with, Lord, I need this, I need this, I want this, I want this, I'm concerned about this, I'm concerned about that. That's the last thing we ought to do in rightful, correct prayer. Now, something I was thinking of this week when looking at this passage. Verse 6 ends with the words, let your requests be made known to God. But there's a major theological problem with this. God knows everything. So why, possibly, could Apostle Paul be telling us, let God know of our requests when he already knows about them? You know, when we think of man, if we were to say that a man is unteachable, we're saying he's arrogant, that he thinks he knows it all, a bit like Job's friends. And they're not interested in hearing anything from anybody else. They know it all. But God is unteachable. Because there is nothing that God does not know. It's part of his definition. He's an omniscient God, all-knowing God. So when the Apostle Paul tells us, let your requests be made known to God, it's not that God doesn't already know our requests. He already knows our concerns. He already knows our needs. So why would the Apostle Paul say, tell him, let it know, be known to him? Well, primarily, we know that prayer is actually a commandment, is given to us as a command. We ought to ask of him, Jesus says in the Gospels. We must tell him, we must ask of him our needs. He wants us to do that. He delights in righteous prayer. So he wants us to do it. So when we are telling him our requests or letting him know of our requests, it's not so that he knows of them, he knows them already. It's in obedience, in worship of him and obedience to him. But there's also a secondary reason, I believe, that we're told, and specifically in this context in Philippians 4, to tell God our needs, tell him our requests, tell him our concerns, let him know of them. Because as we share with God our concerns, just in the sharing with him already brings comfort. We're not alone with these requests. We're not alone with these concerns. As we share them with God, as we tell him of these things, we tell him the details, he knows already. He doesn't need us to tell him. But in telling him, we gain already comfort from the God of all comfort as we sit there and share with him our needs. Now, caring is good, but allowing our care to become anxiety is not only sinful, but it also does something we discussed in the first message. It robs us of a big part of what distinguishes us from unbelievers. It robs us of the peace of God. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. For the ungodly, for the unbelievers, there is no peace. But we have this peace. The scriptures tell us of God, or tell us that God is peace. Amongst many other things, God is peace. He brings spiritual peace to those that are his own. God is our peace. Ephesians 2 tells us that Lord Jesus Christ is a believer's peace. And through our justification, spoken of in passages like Romans 5, we are now at peace with God. From an eternal view, this peace is complete. It remains for eternity. It's a peace that is given to us by God and will never be destroyed. But in our passage tonight, this peace, this word peace, speaks of a peace that is from God, a different peace. It's more of a inner peace, a calm, a tranquility that exists in believers. And it's brought about by our faith, our trust in God, and the resulting close walk with him. As we do this with him, we'll have this inner peace. It's a peace that surpasses or exceeds our understanding, Paul tells us. It is beyond our ability to fully comprehend this peace. But as I was thinking about this, I thought something, this is really cool. This peace is beyond our understanding, the text tells us. We can never fully understand this peace, but we can have this peace. So even though we don't know it completely, even though we don't understand it completely, it's beyond our ability to understand this complete peace that we have. It is something we can have. We can hold on to. We can fully hold on to because of what God has done. We can have this peace and we can keep this peace if we stay in constant and proper prayer with our God. We don't have to understand it to have it. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." But when this faith falters, when this trust falters, our peace starts also to break down. Our peace is removed as we stop trusting in him. And as we allow the cares of this world to grow to become worries and deep concerns that create anxiety in us, we make these concerns bigger than God, and the peace slowly starts coming away, starts being removed from our lives. See, when we worry and when we are anxious, we are robbed of this peace because we are allowing these worries to take our trust away from God. And this inner calm and this inner tranquility starts breaking down and disappearing. But when we pray correctly, this peace returns, and the passage continues to tell us that this peace will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the word guard, G-U-A-R-D, is a military term and speaks of a protection by a military garrison, a troop of a huge amount of soldiers, a mighty force of trained professionals to protect our hearts and our minds. This kind of guard is trained, equipped, and prepared to protect that which is under its guard. It's a mighty force that it speaks of in this word that protects or guards our hearts and minds. So as we pray to him, as we spend time in proper prayer and we share our concerns with him, we're not only comforted, but this peace starts being resurrected, and that peace guards our hearts and our minds. It guards our emotions and our thoughts. Our hearts and our minds, our emotions and our thoughts. It guards them. It protects them. Because you see, when you worry and you become anxious, we allow anxiety to grow. And this anxiety attacks our emotion and our thoughts with extreme prejudice. It hits them hard. We start feeling bad. We start getting sad. Our thoughts go haywire. That's why in the greater context of chapter 4, Philippians, Paul talks about your thoughts. You start thinking stupid things. You start thinking that God can't do this, that God is weak, that you're alone, that you can't handle this, that things are unfair, and your emotions and your thoughts go crazy when you allow anxiety to grow in your life, when you don't go to God in prayer. But as you do that, this peace grows, and that peace guards your emotions, and it guards your thoughts. And it removes that worry and anxiety that is there to destroy you internally, your innards. It becomes chaotic, and chaos reigns inside of you if you do not spend time in prayer, in proper prayer, bringing your cares to him. You see, all of this because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Prayer not only removes anxiety, if we have it, if we've allowed these worries to grow and become greater than our God, by praying to him, he will not only remove these worries and concerns as we trust him again, but by continuing in proper prayer, God will guard us from letting those worries, other worries, grow and anxieties to occur. So we've said before, we tend to worry. It's part of us. It's there all the time. So easy to start worrying about things. The simplest things can become a worry to us and can grow anxiety in us. And when that happens, we need to fall on our knees and spend time worshiping Him in proper prayer and casting our cares onto Him, as Peter tells us to do. Casting our anxieties, our worries onto Him. Well, before we move into a prayer time tonight, we're going to sing the first verse of What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm just going to read that stanza, you can read with. It says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer."